Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you so much for grabbing another episode of the Be Our Guest podcast. We need this Friday like none other. Don't forget, our sponsor is the Magic for Less Travel. So when it comes time for that next Disney adventure, whether you're headed down to Walt Disney World, out to Disneyland, or sailing with the Disney Cruise Line, work with a platinum earmarked agency, which means Disney has recognized them as being the best of the best when it comes to taking care of their guests and the amount of trips they book each and every year. Their guests come back time and time again. That's why they have so many repeat customers. They take care of their guests and make sure that each and every trip is special, and they treat it as if it were their own. And of course, they're checking each morning on those existing reservations to save their guests the most amount of money with new discounts that may come out here soon. So check them out today. Drop by themagicforless.com, fill out that free, no obligation quote, and you and I are going to be working together planning the next awesome Disney adventure. Again, check them out today over at themagicforless.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1224 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Friday to you. And this Friday is definitely a better Friday than last Friday, where we had Hurricane Irma lurking out in the Caribbean, and folks were scrambling, getting ready to decide whether to go down to Walt Disney World, what was going to happen with cruises. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to kind of look back over the past week and talk about how we feel Disney handled this very unique situation. And the reason we're recording this is because, you know, like it or not, a situation similar to this will probably happen, you know, in the future. Maybe, who knows, it could happen again this year, maybe next year, hopefully not for a long time to come. But it's always good to kind of look at it while it's fresh, reflect on it, and talk about what we think, you know, Disney did well, what things Disney might improve upon in the future. And, you know, we can also reflect on Hurricane Matthew and what things changed from last year to this year. So joining me today to have this discussion here, which I think is going to be very poignant and timely, we have Pam Forrester, co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel. Happy weekend, Pam. We need this one after this past week.
Happy Friday. I think my agents are very glad to not be on the phone with 5 and 6 hour holds. So, but we are happy to help everyone kind of reschedule and do all that. And happy to have the opportunity to kind of, you know, backseat quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. That's kind of what we're doing. After the fact, we're kind of, you know, giving our input and suggestions and talking about what, you know, did happen. And I think that it's, you know, it's an important part of everything to look and see, you know, what could have been done better, what's been done great, and, you know, see everything, how Disney responded to that. So glad to be doing this one.
And this one, again, you know, we like to put these kind of shows out on Fridays because it gives folks a chance over the weekend. Hopefully you can do the same for us, to drop by the Facebook group and give us your feedback on your thoughts. You know, how do you think Disney handled this? What actions might they improve upon if the situation comes around again? Because while we're not thinking that Disney's listening to every podcast we put out, they do monitor social media. I mean, because they want to learn. And with a title like today's show, I would think it gets picked up at some point by somebody to, you know, hey, you know, because your idea could be the one that improves the guest experience the next time around. I mean, you guys have amazing ideas because you're there all the time. So I can't wait to hear what you have to say. So let's kind of look back on this, Pam. So about this time last week, you know, about last Friday, we knew Hurricane Irma was, you know, it was a monster storm out in the Atlantic approaching, you know, the Virgin Islands and, you know, the West Indies and so forth. I mean, it was gaining strength. We knew this wasn't going to be a little hurricane. It was going to be a Cat 5 at some point, and folks were scrambling. So walk us through kind of where you came from as this started to become something that is travel agents we had to worry about, is guests out there, all the guests were worrying about it. You know, what were those initial thoughts about this time last week?
So what's funny is that we were actually there, scheduled to come home Wednesday. Steve and I had talked about maybe extending our trip depending on what was going on. And then we started to see that Irma, you know, was probably likely going to make landfall, and knew that the airports in particular would be more challenging for us to get out as the week progressed. So we did come home on Wednesday about that. And I was glad that we did. We really kind of beat kind of the rush in that space. And that can be what's challenging in a storm like this, is that, you know, people were still saying that they wanted to go. And I totally get that. I understand it. But what comes into play is airlines start canceling flights, and that no longer is an option. And although we try to help guests process through that, that's sometimes something that the guest has to, you know, get to that point on their own sometimes when they see that that's coming. So, you know, it's very hard to predict a storm like this, which everyone appreciates. And I think that Disney and lots of other suppliers were really trying to stay ahead of it. The first thing, major thing that got announced as a change was the change to the Disney Cruise Line, the two itineraries that were canceled. And that was, you know, something that was going to impact a good number of guests. You know, Disney, we were on the fence then to help maybe secure a different sailing for that guest, to figure out what they wanted to do and move forward with that. And I think Disney did that as soon as they really could have called it, you know, in that space, those two sailings to keep everyone out. Plus, they needed those ships, I believe, to help get some folks off of Castaway Key. And then wanted to make sure that those ships, you know, were not in a spot where they were putting guests in harm's way, which Disney Cruise Line and all the other cruise lines do an exceptional job at that. But I think it's probably a little more complicated than the average guest would, you know, understand in that space. And it's funny, too, to think about, you know, other guests who would be very frightful of that situation, going on a cruise before or after a hurricane. Just those ships are so large and they do have the ability to really change the itinerary to keep guests out of harm's way. But I think it's absolutely better safe than sorry to do in that space. So I'm sure Disney has 25 levels of plans, right? Hierarchies from here to here to here, to help determine, you know, what to do in a situation like that. And it's absolutely clear from all the reports that we have heard that Disney learned a lot from, you know, the last couple of storms that we've encountered and the way that they've handled that. So just, it's always great to hear that.
Yeah, you know, when it comes to, again, I'm not a hurricane expert. I'm in St. Louis, Missouri, for our new listeners. I mean, you know, we have tornadoes dance around here. We have flooding. I live right by the Mississippi and Missouri rivers, where the confluence, where they meet. But we, you know, we obviously don't have much experience with hurricanes. That being said, I was at Walt Disney World at Pop Century when Hurricane Charlie passed over in 2004, and that was a crazy episode. It was similar to the situation that, you know, from what I'm hearing, that Irma had, you know, kind of the same strength winds and so forth. So, you know, for a kid from Missouri, hey, man, I've been in a hurricane, one of the few up here. So anyway, but I'm no expert when it comes to that. But the way I judge the severity of a hurricane over the last, say, 5 years, since I've really been invested in the Disney community, is how the Central Florida theme park association, or whatever you want to call it, the conglomerate, decide. It's kind of like they do snow days here in the Midwest. You know, there's always a couple of bellwether school districts. Like, if you hear this district's calling off, okay, Ferguson Florissant's going to be calling off next. You know, it's like our superintendent isn't strong enough to make the first call, but that guy always does. And so then he follows it. It's kind of like that. So you kind of wait to see what Universal, Disney, SeaWorld, stuff like that, you know, are deciding. Because again, I mean, bottom line is, number one, they want to keep the guests safe. Okay, that's number one. But I mean, think about it. It's lost revenue for these companies, and they don't want to lose revenue for longer than they need to. But I thought that, you know, Disney pretty aggressively went out there and said, we're going to change it. We're going to cancel these itineraries. And it was still, you know, I know that they made the right call. Don't get me wrong, it's the right call. But that's when it kind of woke me up to the fact that, you know, nobody's messing around with this storm. They're not saying, well, let's wait another 24 hours and see what happened, because they did that right away. You know, canceled the fantasy sailing. They cut it short. The one previous got the guests off the ship. Canceled, I believe, or shortened two Disney Dream sailings. So is that kind of what you do now as far as you're up in Pittsburgh? When you kind of, you know, there's a storm out there, let's see what the reaction's going to be. And that's how I knew this was going to be a big one.
So, yeah, it is. There are some telltale signs, I think. And what's funny is, although we don't, of course, have a lot of firsthand hurricane knowledge, we do get a lot of tornadoes that do come through this. And it's weird, because I think, especially with storms, first of all, it's such a natural phenomenon that you're interested in it, right? That you want to see about it, hear about it, learn about it, whatever. But we had a tornado that actually touched down probably less than a mile from our house. Not this spring, but the spring before. And I can remember, what did we do? Like, you start hearing the storms and you see it. Of course, you get the alert on your iPhone, right? And everyone else gets it too. We're on the deck watching the clouds. You're starting to watch the clouds and they go like a tornado starts to roll this way horizontally. And then it goes like this, which is when the tornado starts. And we see this happening. Hello.
I know.
And then it dawns on you, oh my gosh, we better really do this. But I think what has made so many folks immune to the storm chatter is the 24-hour news cycle, right? That you hear it all, you know, you hear it so often and it doesn't materialize so often that we're kind of like immune to it now at this point. It's like, yeah, a storm. Like usually we're getting storm alerts at like 4:45 and this is something I have never shared on the podcast. So ready? I am a Judge Judy junkie. Okay. Love to watch the Judge Judy when I can. I think if she ruled our country, things would go pretty well. But anyways, so it's usually like 4:45 and I'm like taking a 15-minute break. I'm downstairs watching Judge Judy and there'll be like storm breaks, like cutting into my Judge Judy. And I'm like, what the heck? I got to see how this case ends. So I mean, but that's just a good example of like, this is how immune we've sort of become to these storm warnings. So I think it's very hard to take things, you know, to really take them seriously at some time. So,
well, especially for folks like us that aren't, you know, because our homes aren't there. And I think that's the challenge for folks that are tourists, you know, and I think that you saw this on, you know, they call it the Diz Twitter when you watch social media, because I'm glued to it. You know, I had Irma on, you know, or the Weather Channel on in my house from like Saturday nonstop. I didn't even turn it off in the basement. It stayed on 24/7. And I was just locked in because not only that, because, you know, it's happening to a place that I have a connection to. I love, like you, I love Central Florida, like our listeners. You know, I've had some of my best times in my lives. And now because of the podcast, some of my very, very best friends are there. You know, they're cast members. They live close to the parks. They just, that's where they are. And I never want them to be in danger. So I was just locked in. But I think that's the challenge, is when you see folks like Jim Cantore and Mike Seidel reporting later on as the storm makes landfall, and they're out there, you know, in those really strong winds. I mean, it's a surreal experience for somebody, you know, like me, who is a weather nut. Because when I was in Charlie, I mean, I told the story last week that, you know, Pam and Paige was little at the time. They're in the bathtub at Pop Century, you know, because the governor at the time is on the TV saying, go home, kiss your kids, and let's pray to God that we make it through tonight. You know, but I'm out on the deck, like, I want to feel what 70 mile an hour, 80 mile an hour winds feel like, you know, because I felt gusts like that, but not sustained winds. And I think that's a challenge. So I get where everybody's coming from, and this is not something that is to be celebrated, but I think, you know, it's great that everybody rallies together to make the best of a really tough situation. So kind of hopping back on topic, I think Cruise Line did really good. They kept the ship safe. They're going to come back online and, you know, do as, of course, we talked about this on Wednesday, probably modified itineraries for a little bit, especially when you're talking sailing Eastern on the Fantasy, because they want the best guest experience possible. So Pam, walk us through that, and then we'll hop over to Walt Disney World and how they did. But closing out on Cruise Line, when it comes to those modified itineraries, you know, I think those are going to come. We don't know at the time of recording. They could have been announced, mm-hmm. obviously, by the time the show releases. But it's for the better guest experience. Obviously, St. Martin was ravaged. And you don't want to not only go there because guests aren't going to have, you know, the amenities that they're expecting, but also because that island needs to bounce back, and they have bigger priorities than the Disney Fantasy pulling in for people to go jet skiing, you know?
Right, absolutely. But they will want to get back in line as soon as they can, because those islands absolutely depend on tourism for that. And so I guess, if anything, I would ask guests, and so many Disney guests are exceedingly patient and, you know, empathetic and understand that, but when they do go back to those islands, to give them maybe a little break on things, maybe not be as high, you know, up to standard as they would have anticipated, or if things are a little, if their shore excursion that they booked is a little changed, you know, I think that everyone will certainly understand why that's so, and go and spend some money there. What will be happening and what is so important is that all these islands will just need the influx of dollars to help get themselves back on their feet. And I think that it's always important, you know, we've already had guests sort of saying, am I going to be okay going to going on Disney Cruise Line in the next few months. Will it be okay? And I can tell you the Disney Cruise Line standard will absolutely be there. You don't even have to worry a second about that. They will do everything they can to make sure that your excursions and your visiting of the other islands will be a great Disney experience as well. And I think that that's something just to keep in mind as we move forward. So yeah, they're ready. And Disney Cruise Line absolutely offered, you know, extended a great discount to guests who were scheduled on those two cruises that were canceled so that they can book something coming up here. So that's something that we were glad to see. You know, nobody wants to cancel a vacation. So I think it's, you know, it makes it a little easier when you know you have something coming on the horizon. So they made that happen too. So yeah, did a great job.
Yeah, I think that's the bottom line. You know, Ricky and I talked about last Friday, we did the show where we talked about prepping, you know, or when we called it when a hurricane is on the horizon of your Disney, whether it's Cruise Line or Walt Disney World Vacation. And the one thing I said was the bottom line, you know, in red letters, be proactive, you know, because that's going to put you in the best situation. I think for today's podcast, looking back and reflecting on the past week, Disney was very fair in what they offered cruise line guests, you know, in compensation, in flexibility, because, okay, so let's hop into the Walt Disney World portion and kind of talk about, you know, as we were, people were making that call, and it's really hard to do because storms shift and you don't know, you know, you don't want to cancel your vacation you've been looking forward to for 2 years. And then the storm goes out to the Gulf, you know, and it doesn't even hit Florida, which we, you know, you had a best guess. Florida was kind of in the cone the whole time, but you just never know because it did make a lot of, you know, last minute, you know, Central Florida was like under the gun there and it wasn't really, you know, we didn't think the center of rotation would go over Central Florida until really late in the game on Sunday. I think it was going to be brushed, you know, by either side. But anyway, I think the thing with that is that, you know, Disney, we started kind of putting out the official Walt Disney World hurricane policy as far as cancellations and modifications early. Mm-hmm. So guests and folks that listen to the show would be able to make a great decision based on their needs, because it comes down to what are you comfortable with? What do you want to do? But you got to do it soon. And what I noticed was, you know, typically the Central Florida area has to be under hurricane warning for, you know, these very liberal cancellation modification policies to officially go into place. What happened was Disney really early in the game let folks make modifications and cancellations without penalty, which I thought great call, Disney, because people, you know, they're hurting enough making that decision. And I think it made it a little bit easier for people to kind of, you know, call the ball and decide what they were going to do on their vacations.
Yeah, I agree. And before we get too far into this, I just want to mention and put a like a kind of notice out there for travel insurance, travel protection, whatever. I mean, this is one of the reasons why it is kind of important that a decision like this is easier to make earlier on, because you know that you have that travel protection in place and it's going to cover not only your flights, but also your Disney World trip. So, you know, all of these things, if you had to cancel because of a trip and then it didn't, you know, your flights didn't really cancel or you didn't get your money back, then you came through travel insurance. And I just want to say that when you buy it for the Walt Disney World portion of your trip, that children are covered for free when the adults on the reservation purchase it. For Disney Cruise Line, it's a reasonable policy, but we can also recommend policies other than the ones that Disney has. So just something to think about. And when people, like, nobody books a vacation thinking that they're going to have to cancel it, right? You don't do it in anticipation. And so that's why travel protection can help you do that. But it also helps with delays, medical emergencies, stuff like that. So anyways, but yeah, absolutely. The things that you mentioned, Mike, that it is hard. It is hard. Disney really let that, you know, let people start canceling earlier, which was good because, you know, there were so many people from the southern parts of Florida that actually had to evacuate to Orlando, those southern portions of the state that were going to be so, you know, that we knew that regardless of which way the hurricane turned, that those cities were going to be impacted in a negative way, right? So that was a great thing to see that Disney did that too, that they let those things happen. They let guests evacuate to the Orlando area. They let guests bring their pets.
Yeah, how about some of those, just looking back on that, how, you know, whether you feel like the, you know, dogs and cats, and I mean, I don't think anybody brought gators or anything like that, but I'm just saying, maybe somebody did, who knows, potbelly pigs. I saw some great pictures. You know, this was almost a coup for Disney because they had so many great pictures of, like, dogs riding out the storm, getting a picture with Goofy or Pluto. I mean, you know what? It showed compassion. You know what? And that's what you need in a time of distress for people. because that's part of the family. I mean, I thought that was a coup for them. And I mean, it made sense, but I'm glad they did that.
I did too. And that was just one of the many instances of great things that Disney did. And I also want to give a big shout out to Universal too, because they did some great things too. The Universal on-site hotels, they always have accommodations that are available there for those with pets. But anyways, in that space, you know, the other thing that you really saw Disney doing was helping guests prepare, right? You know, as adults, I think we all should take a little personal responsibility for our well-being, but it's great to have a reminder, and Disney was putting them out early and often, and that is, if you are going to ride out the storm with us, go get some food.
Yes.
Go get some water. Bring it back to your room. You're not going to be allowed out of your room, because during, you know, the storms that happened last year, that was one of the biggest complaints, I think, that there were long lines and whatnot. But this time, you know, by just encouraging people to do those things early, I think that they had, you know, it was much easier to meet those demands that were going to be there. So they did that. They learned from last year. The other things they did is that a lot of the deluxe resorts, especially the ones that have the conference centers attached to them, they had buffets available. They had activities going on, and they had, you know, even as far as character meet and greet. So, I mean, that was fantastic. They had lunches that you could buy, grab and go lunches available there. I mean, they just took the opportunity, and the cast in particular, which, by the way, let's mention that this yes. cast lives in the area that's going to be hardest hit by this. So, I mean, I'm just thinking, if a hurricane is coming to my area, there's probably about 800 things I'd rather do than go to work that day. But the cast is dedicated, and they're always there to make the magic. And I think that that's really incredible. There were, you know, people there to not only help us assist guests and reschedule those cast manning the phones, but the cast that are dealing with things there in person too. So again, just a great display from the Disney company in that space.
Yes. I want to echo that, because the cast members, again, they were amazing. You know, the characters that were interacting with the kids, the extra staff they had to bring in, like you said, to set up buffets and conference rooms and, you know, these extra activities, the folks who are normally out by the pools, you know, doing the poolside games, the rec staff and stuff like that. You wouldn't have known from the videos and the feedback I got, because it was just, I'll be honest, we got feedback during Hurricane Matthew last year that there was just a lot of frustration. People were, you know, they understood, but mm-hmm. you're excited. You want to have a good time, and they just were frustrated with long lines for food. You know, they nobody starved or anything, but it was complicated to get things done. And this time around, what I saw were people saying, man, check out this great, look at my plate. Like, you know, I saw somebody that I think at Ohana, they turned it into like a buffet,
yes.
you know, so folks could go eat. And like, I was jealous that I wasn't at Ohana that night having the buffet, you know, riding out the hurricane. I was like, that's way better than I can get. And it's regular sunny and 70 in St. Louis, you know? And I was like, this is good though. This is good, because this is an ideal for the folks down there. They're frustrated. They might've wanted to go ride pirates that night at the Magic Kingdom. They can't do that. The park's closed. But they're making, you know, I tweeted that WDW Today account saying, you know, I thought that, especially down at Walt Disney World, and this is aimed at the cast members and everybody associated with the company, that Disney took, you know, lemons that they were dealt and turned it into some really sweet tasting lemonade. You know, that it wasn't perfect, right. but they made it as good as it could, because guest safety is number one, and you just can't have people outside. But in lieu of that, I thought they did a really good job. And I, you know, I really echo what you said, Pam, because these cast members, like you said, we forget about that as tourists. I'm guilty of that too. You know, I think that everybody's on vacation when I'm on vacation. I don't necessarily stop to think that, you know, at 9 o'clock, these folks hop in a car, have to go get, you know, maybe they got to get groceries for tomorrow, because like right now I'm out of Uncrustables that I snack on in the afternoon. You know, I got to go get those. I don't think, you know, I think everybody swings by the food court, picks up a tie-dyed cheesecake and, you know, hops in their freshly made bed, you know, that the housekeeping took care of. So I think that's great you point that out, because these cast members really did. I mean, they brought out the best in the guests, and I think the guests in turn brought out the best in the cast members.
I agree. And we saw it even in dealing with the cast members who answer the phone and helped us reschedule so many of those guest vacations, is that some of these cast members helped us like really work some serious magic for guests, finding discounts that weren't there or, you know, were long gone or things like that to help make it possible so that guests could travel back. Now, I mean, I think that all of our guests were so realistic about this, and we really appreciate that. And just wanted to point out that there are things like sometimes when you're taking a vacation, like in September, right? And the rate is, let's say, $200 a night for whatever hotel you're staying at. And that's the typical rate. And then you got a 20% off discount. If you're now going to be traveling in October or November, it's something where the cost is typically a little higher. You know, we were able to help get a discount for you, but it's still like the price may be a little bit different in price because of the fact that the rate that the discount is being taken from is a little higher. But that's, Disney really did work with us to try to make something work for the guest.
Yeah. And I think folks that, you know, because you can't make availability either. Some folks wanted to reschedule for really busy times, and that's a struggle because folks are already booked, you know, especially during Food and Wine and so forth. October's crazy. But and we appreciate that very much. Now, let's talk about the communication, because we had a guest down there, and one of our agents, was down there, and she was sending back, you know, the things that were sliding under the door. And, you know, as far as, like you said, you know, that being proactive and getting the word out, get groceries, you know, at the parks, bring back stuff, you know, from, say, your quick service location. You know, maybe if you're at a table service restaurant, basically, it didn't say this on the paper, but what it did, I think, was kind of proactively tell the guests that if you're, say, you're dining at, I don't know, Mama Melrose, you know, and you don't finish that lasagna, maybe bring that back to your hotel and you could snack on that throughout the day. I think that they did that very well as far as saying that you're going to be able to get supplies at your resort, but if you can have things in your room to nibble on, to snack on, that's going to give you a lot more options. So I thought that was really good that the information was there in the room, you know, and put under your door. And we got to see that on the Facebook page. We shared as much of that. And another thing was that they used the My Disney Experience app very well to kind of push out some notifications as far as what they were expecting and what amenities and services would be suspended and what things would be delayed and what things would still be available, which I think is very important when it comes to, you know, situations like this that are out of the norm.
Yeah, you're right. Using the app was genius because this is something that everyone has in their hands. They're looking at it. They're checking their fast passes. They're looking at their dining reservations and seeing what's happening. And Disney used that to push out a lot of information, just like they use the Disney Cruise Line website to kind of get that information out there too, which is kind of a, you know, has a pre-planning app portion of it too. So love to see them using technology to get the information out there. And the other thing that they did was I heard they typically do leave some messages on the guest phone. So that's important. If you're ever a guest and you're staying at Disney World or Disneyland, and during something like this, you're going to want to check your phone frequently just to see if Disney's pushing out like a blast notice to guests, you know, there at the resorts too. And it might give you some additional information as well. So that's something to consider.
They also had the in-room TV, you know, the channel that you turn into with information specific to your resort even, which was really nice to see. Very simple, and every person obviously is going to see that. The TV is going to come on at some point, especially when you're on lockdown. Here's something that I want to mention that you know, one of the guests, I was working with a lot of guests, but one of the guests that I was working with, they've been looking forward to their trip for quite a while, and they were staying at a cabin at Fort Wilderness, and some other family members were tent camping at Fort Wilderness. So they had, you know, they had two different experiences. They're really looking forward to this, you know, kind of a good time of the year to do it, they thought. And of course, you know, the first thing really that got closed was Fort Wilderness. They decided that, you know, that's not a good idea to have guests there. And what happened was, in a tent, especially, not exactly a sound structure. But what happened was, you know, Disney did a good job of giving them accommodations outside of Fort Wilderness rather quickly. They got moved over to Coronado Springs, which I thought was a very nice, fair move. You know, Coronado Springs is a moderate, and the cabins are in the moderate category when it comes to pricing. So I thought, you know, good deal, you know, well done, Disney. Well, this guest had a special circumstance where they needed a freezer for reasons, you know, that they needed. So what happened was they couldn't get a freezer into their room, even though we worked with them. We tried, you know, and tried to, you know, make calls and so forth. It just wasn't going to happen. And so what Disney did, because what happened was, you know, if you got to think about it, when you're at a moderate, you have exterior corridors. What they said was, you know, you can go down to the main lobby area, the food court area, and you can use that, you know, they'll take care of you down there, which is great under normal circumstances. You can definitely do that. But say the center of circulation's passing over, you don't want to hoof it from, say, the Ranchos down to the main lobby, you know, because El Centro, because there's 70-mile-an-hour winds. They don't want you out there. They said you can't be out there. So what happened was Disney, you know, looked at that special situation, and these guests ended up at Beach Club. So I'm not saying that this is, you know, don't book a tent thinking you're going to end up at Beach Club during September. It's very not going to happen. But the bottom line, what I want to say is, you know, given the situation, they moved the guests to somewhere that had interior corridors that could accommodate the situation that was very specific to them to save their vacation. And I'm sure these kind of instances happen time and time again. Again, not, you know, I just don't want to give people expectations. And I know our listeners aren't like that, but, you know, the bottom line is Disney solved a problem that needed to be solved, because this wasn't like, I need a freezer because I need, you know, I really like, you know, bomb pops. You know, I like to have those, you know, three times a day. I love those suckers, you know, but that's not a valid reason. This was something that had to happen, and Disney saved the vacation and they made it happen. So I was glad to see that.
I think that it's always good when your guests, especially in a situation like this, but any situation, if you want a company to help you or to accommodate you, you approach, whether it be Disney or someone else, the company, and let them know what you need or what you want in that space. Don't, you know, it's not up to you to tell them, well, you need to do this to accommodate me. It's to say, I have this need. How can you help me? How can you help me do this? And I think that that's something that so many, you know, that so many guests, especially those who aren't really expecting something, are wowed by in terms of Disney, because they give them the want or the need and Disney helps accommodate them. I will say, you know, during this time too, also, you also have to pack your patience, because there's going to be limits on food. There's going to be limits on food selection, food choices. You know, I mean, Disney's used to getting truck deliveries daily with food, water, supplies, you know, things like that. So I think it just takes, you know, of course, everyone has to manage their expectations in this space, and Disney is absolutely doing the best that they can. But, you know, sometimes there's only so much you can do. So,
absolutely. All right. So as we kind of wrap up this discussion and you know, our reflection on what happened this past week, obviously Disney closed all four theme parks, the water parks, Disney Springs. They closed them on Sunday and Monday. The storm hit on Sunday. You know, it started hitting early Sunday morning or late Saturday night down in South Florida, passed over. The heart of the storm passed over Central Florida on Sunday evening, kind of late in the night, which was kind of scary for me. You know, not that it matters if it's light or dark, but I'd rather be light if a big storm is passing over if I have my druthers. But they closed the park Sunday and Monday. And, you know, people are going to, like you said, armchair quarterback this. Was it too much? Was it too little? You know, in my instance, and they did this way out. They did this in advance, you know, based on the best forecast that they could probably get their hands on. But I think they nailed this. That was perfect to me, because Sunday night, you couldn't have had anybody in the parks. They closed a little bit early on Saturday night, but it boiled down to like an hour early. They canceled the fireworks, basically. But I thought, you know, it wasn't too much and it wasn't too little. And they, you know, part of it, you know, I think they say a lot of times, you know, luck is a major factor in things that make you look really smart. I think they got lucky on this one, but I think that they made the right call early on. This was a good call. 2 days.
Yeah, I agree. It seemed right on the money, you know, that they made the right call. It wasn't too early. It wasn't too late. And by making the call early, too, I think it encourages a lot of folks who were going to be arriving, like perhaps when the storm was at its worst or soon after, to delay that trip maybe by a day or two or even a month or two. And it also gave people the opportunity to think to themselves, geez, this is, you know, this might be something I want to take the opportunities that I can to get out of those flights that left on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you know, leading up to it. So I think that they did a great job in that, too. That's always something that you have to take into consideration. And two, you know, before we close, I've got to give a shout out to our team, because I will say that our team, and I'm very biased, and Mike is too, but our team really worked as a team to help each other, our guests, do whatever we could. We don't really want to pull back the curtain too much and shows what goes on behind the screen here when something like this happens and what we need to do. But we all worked amazingly well together, and it's a credit to our team and just our team members. So,
and I want to send a shout out to all of the guests that I am privileged to work with. Emily's in the chat right now, and very kind of her to put a message up there. But so many of our guests, some people had to reschedule. I know I have a good friend, a guest who books time and time again. It wasn't going to work out. She has to wait till next September to go, you know, and she was on a bounce back offer. We worked with her. It's just, everybody was so kind and understanding that this was something that, you know, Disney didn't have the perfect solution to. We didn't, as agents, have the perfect solution. You know, we were getting information as it was coming out, and the guests were so very flexible in the expectations of what's going to happen. I mean, bottom line is, I think everybody understood this. This was a very serious situation for a lot of folks that are stationed, you know, that live down in Florida. And at the end of the day, I think everybody understands, as important as these Disney vacations are to us, trust me, nobody gets that more than me and you, Pam, and folks tuned in today, because, you know, I've dedicated almost 10 years of my life to this podcast. I love talking about it. It's so, so important to me. But at the end of the day, it's Florida's our playground for most of us. You know, we go down there, we have great times, we celebrate some of the best times in our lives with the people we care about the most. But there were a lot of folks dealing with much more dire situations than we were. So I'm just thankful that folks took it with stride. And if they had to push it back a week, they did. They're going to have a great trip. If they have to push it back a year, they're going to have a great trip a year from now. So while you're echoing, and I get exactly what you're saying, the agents at the Magic for Less worked really hard. And it was amazing to be a small part of that team over the past week. The guests were so amazing to us. You know, I bounced that back on them because they understood that, you know, I couldn't get them an answer within 30 minutes when my hands were tied, when sometimes the wait times were longer than 30 minutes over the past week. So I'm just glad that everybody kind of rallied together.
Just a little.
I was eating nachos at dinner when I called in during the Price is Right in the morning. But anyway, you know, I think that, you know, it bottom line is Disney did a good job on this one. And don't you? So as we close this out, I think that they learned so much from the experience last year with Hurricane Matthew, don't you think? Because it was a frustration for people last year, but they kept everybody safe, which was most important. But I think people are going to get home from this trip, and they maybe lost two park days from their vacation, but I think they're going to come home with some amazing pictures that nobody else is going to have riding out a hurricane in Central Florida.
No, I totally agree. That's the thing that Disney absolutely does better, I think, than most other companies out there. And that is when they correct, they make changes, they survey guests, they get input, they ask their cast, how can we do things better? They ask for that input, and they ask for it repeatedly from many different guests, and they ask it in different ways. And, you know, they're masters of survey, sometimes to get maybe the answer that they're looking for, I think, when you're looking at the survey. But sometimes they take a lot of input from guests and kind of come up with a final solution, I think, that almost always works better than it did initially. So we appreciate that about it. And I think that's why so many of us end up going back again and again.
Absolutely. It gets me excited to head back and just, you know, I wish I could just take all the cast members and give like a big 50,000, 60,000 person hug, you know, and just say, you know what? You guys really did shine in this tough situation. I think, you know, that's how it is, I think, with life. You know, I'm very much an optimistic person. If you've heard the show for you know, years and years, that I try to look at the world as the glass is half full. And I think that, you know, the tough times bring out the best. And we saw that this past week. And I was so glad to be able to share that on social media, be, you know, an observer of that through Twitter and Instagram, and see people that the guests jumped into it. It was kind of like what happened with the half marathon last year and the marathon weekend. You know, people were like me, super disappointed. The half marathon was canceled on Saturday. Disney couldn't help it. There was lightning dancing. I mean, some of the lizards, us crazy folks, were down there at midnight trying to get in the half marathon in the lightning. Dumb, stupid, don't do that. But looking back, bad decision by a group of lizards, not Disney. But the thing was, is like, you saw people rallying the next day. I mean, there were half marathons happening at every resort, and guests that had no idea a marathon was going on were out there handing out water and snacks and making signs, you know, out of whatever they had in their rooms. And this was another instance of folks rallied together, cast members and guests alike, and made it the best it could be. And it warmed my heart seeing this. So thanks to everybody who was a part of that. Making the best you could out of a bad situation. Disney, well done in my book. And I'm glad we learned from last year. So it's time to close it out. Hopefully you enjoyed today's discussion. But again, let us know what you think on Facebook at facebook.com/BeerGuestPodcast. We'll have the post up there. This is going to be an important one because I really want to hear your thoughts. What could Disney have done better? Because there's always things they could have done better. But I'm glad to see that the guest experience was about as good as I think it could be. So don't forget today's episode brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. So when it comes time for that next Disney adventure, whether it's sailing with the Disney Cruise Line, heading down to Walt Disney World, or heading out to the West Coast to Disneyland, check out themagicforless.com. Great specials right there on the homepage. You can read about all the destinations. Also, you might not know, but it's a great resource for trip planning. They have great resort guides that are updated all the time. That's really kind of where a Disney vacation starts. I know a lot of you guys have your favorites. You go down a lot. But there's a lot of our guests, you know, that are listening today to the podcast that, you know, maybe it's your first trip. You're just getting into all this. And it's really overwhelming deciding, you know, should I stay at All-Star Sports? Should I look at French Quarter? Should I stay at the Polynesian? I mean, there's a lot of different things to consider besides just price. There's value in those resort guides. I would encourage you to check those out. That's a great place to start your planning. And pick out a few of your favorites, get some pricing, decide what's going to work out with you. But again, an agent's going to give you great service. They're going to help you plan this vacation, not only during a hurricane, but also during the good times when it's a piece of cake. So don't worry about that. I like those better. I'm just telling you. Let's go for some nice, clear, sunny skies for a while. I'd appreciate that very much. So check them out today. They're over at themagicforless.com. Let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. And don't forget, when you do that online shopping, please go through our Amazon affiliate link. It's beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Really does help support the show. Thank you to everybody who does that often. But again, if you haven't, you get all your Prime benefits. It costs you nothing extra. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We're at BeOurGuestMike. And if you don't mind this weekend, give us a rating and a review over on Apple Podcasts, formerly known as iTunes, and Stitcher. We'd appreciate that so very much. All right, we're going to be back again on Monday with another awesome trip report. That's what we do on Mondays. But until then, it's time to have an awesome weekend. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you a terrific weekend. But whatever you do, stay safe, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.